This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. We thank you guys out in the digital world that get on and listen to what we've got going on. As we've done for, going on 2 years now, because we did change things up right towards the beginning of the pandemic, we are joined again by a fantastic guest. And we're going to talk all things marketing, which at times people may go, oh, what does marketing have to do with restaurants? But at the end of the day, I know you guys are looking to get more people in your doors and figure out who's coming, what they're spending, and how they're spending it, and when they're not coming, how to get them back. And so today we are joined by Steve Wiedemann. Steve, why don't you give our audience a little intro on who you are and a little bit about what you get the privilege of doing on a daily basis?
Sure, Jeremy, thanks for having me. Actually, my way to find myself is a dad and a husband and a world traveler and a goofball, right, overall. But what I do for a living is digital marketing. I've done it for 22 years, if you can believe that. I started, with a small company called IBM back in the day, learning about digital and what was happening with the way corporations were moving content and files and everything else to this thing called the internet. And, I discovered a passion for all things website design and website marketing. I went back to school and got a degree in e-business management. Yes, that's a thing.
I was going to say that. I didn't even realize that was a thing.
It sure is. And you can even get a degree in digital marketing these days. And so from there, after I got my degree, I picked up a job with a company called eVenue, Pacyolan. Got to do a little bit of digital email marketing and a little bit of optimization of content. So when U2 or the Mets tickets were on sale, I had to make sure those servers could load fast. And I'm like, wow, what if we could do this for marketing? Picked up my next job at Disney. I ran the SEM for Disneyland Commerce and Disneyland Marketing, as well as a new brand called Adventures by Disney. Really enjoyed that. Had some challenges with trying to get buy-in for SEO. So I learned how to overcome that. And in the process, I learned how to really master my skills at search engine optimization and appearing in natural search results so you don't have to pay for the ads. Or you can augment it with, ads and paid and organic do play well together. From there, I decided to try the agency thing for a while. I got some offers I couldn't refuse that were really, really well paying, but a lot of long hours. Decided after the kids came along, I wanted to do my own thing. 2010, I went out as Steve Wiedemann SEO expert, and in 2015, we incorporated as Wiedemann Consulting Group. And in that 11 years now, I was able to work with some amazing companies, some through referrals of people who had met me in different networks and had heard about my successes at Disney, but mostly multi-location brands like Public Storage and Bosley, and we even had over 300 Skechers locations to work with, Blaze Pizza, Meineke Car Care Centers, and more recently, we've been working with Applebee's and IHOP, both owned by a company called Dine Brands, and they are the two largest casual dining chains. And in the last 3.5 years, we've learned a lot about how larger multi-location brands work and what you can get pushed through versus what's possible. And we've learned what when you are able to get things through, what those mean in dollars. Being able to see an email from your contact at IHOP who says, hey, we just had a $2 million weekend. Was it that thing we did on Friday? Right? Yep. It can be really exciting. And I'd love today to share some of those case studies and experiences and maybe demystify the fog for the folks that are on location going, how do all these people come into our restaurant? How do they find us? They just wake up and think, hey, I'm going to go to Applebee's today. Or do they do a search like restaurant near me or lunch specials near me and find us at the top because someone at corporate worked with a digital marketing team to make that happen. So hopefully that's a little bit of background on me and what I think, I hope I can do to help everybody today.
Absolutely. Well, and I think it's kind of funny because, well, first, I have to ask the question because I'm sure it's something that will get asked of you or does get asked of you. Is the, you know, is the agency world, you know, I know it's been a number of years, but is the agency world similar to what you see on the what is it, Mad Men, you know, specials, or has it gotten a little bit cleaner than it was on that TV show?
I didn't enjoy it. I found that as somebody who's really passionate about digital marketing and really loved to work and to see what I was capable of, to really test the boundaries of, you know, what I thought I could do, agencies were restrictive of that. Here's who you're going to work with. Here are the resources that you're constrained with. I know you want this, and this person to help you, but we don't have that. So you're going to have to just make do. Right. And you'll make do, and it's going to cost you three times as up to 10 times as much time and effort and energy and sometimes personal investment to make it happen. And at the same time, you also get to see what that relationship is between the agency and the client. And you watch these clients spend tens of thousands of dollars. And unfortunately, a lot of the agencies spending a few hundred dollars in actual effort in support of that client. And so it was just, it just left a bad taste in my mouth, and I decided I wouldn't go back to it. 10 years later, we're sort of the agency's agency. We've trained over 7 different digital marketing agencies, incubated a few of them here in La Mirada, as a matter of fact. And those agencies have done really well in at least having the right structure, the right deliverables. Whether they're pricing right or not is still kind of a questionable thing. And we're still in support of the small business and the mid-sized businesses taking SEO in-house and digital marketing in-house and saving quite a bit of money. But I get it. The advantage of using an agency is you've got some thought leadership. Unfortunately, a lot of the times there's one, maybe two people in that agency that are that thought leadership, and they're, you know, toggling between 20 different accounts. So you're going to get that leadership. You're just not going to get, you know, enough of it to, you know, to really be able to replace them. Yeah.
Well, and I think what I'd love to do, Steve, if you don't mind, you throw a lot of buzzwords around, and I think I believe I know what they are, but if you can take our audience through a little bit of where are the different areas that digital marketing plays, because I think it gets overwhelming as a restaurant operator to throw all of these things out there: SEO, SEM, you know, loyalty, you know, text messaging, phone calls, emails. You know, what are all of these things? So if you could work through and kind of define what is, you know, let's even start just at the base website, which to me is your digital front door to what it is that you're doing. And let's talk a little bit about a well-designed website and what it's going to do. Then we can go into the different ways that website can either hurt or help your business from a customer acquisition perspective. Because you talked a lot about, you know, the maps and searching. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And I think I'd love to help our audience understand from the base level, where do we start? And then let's talk about adding on, because I just moved to a new city. Some of our longtime listeners know that. And there's some websites for restaurants here that don't even have a website. And it's like I'm trying to find a menu to go order food, and I can't even do that. And so let's start with the website and then work our way down into the levels of complexity, because I think it'll help our audience to understand and give us a baseline.
Well, Jeremy, it's a good thing that I wore my black and yellow fuzzy shirt today. So I've got all sorts of buzzwords for you.
good. I hope our audience will appreciate that.
So what I'm thinking is, I know it feels overwhelming. You've got all these different digital marketing mediums or methods and things that you could pay attention to. The website is the first part of it, but I wouldn't develop the website until you've had conversations with experts at all those other mediums, because they're going to play a role in how that site's designed. You can build a website and say, hey, world, here are all the things I think you want to see. Or you could do your research to find out what words they're using and what things they like when they visit competitor websites, and build a website and navigation and sitemap of content that they're searching online for. Not just what you want to shove out there on the internet. Yeah, it's your website, but who's it for? It's for your customers. So design it for your customers. And when we talk about restaurants and local businesses in particular, there are some attributes that are important, particularly for search engine optimization. We could start a website on a free website builder like Wix or Weebly and never be found online, because those website builders aren't very built for being to appear in search results, whereas something like WordPress or Shopify, depending on whether you're selling online or not, have been developed and redeveloped and rebuilt for the course of the last decade to be search engine friendly, to help your web pages appear in search results. So choosing the right platform is paramount. And if I were a small business and I had a restaurant, I would probably start with WordPress. Mm-hmm. If I were a large enterprise and I've got thousands of pages and thousands of locations, I might start with something like Sitecore, Sitecore. We've been working with that for a while now, and it's workable, right? It's elastic enough that we can add in all those fun things that we want to do to make our site stand out. Attributes that would help your page to perform better, I would start by going through it yourself. If you've already got an existing website, with one hand and just your thumb, can you get through the whole experience with one hand and just your thumb? Do you have to flip up and down a lot, or is there a sticky call to action button in the footer, such as start order now or call for more information, right? I'd start by making sure that your mobile experience is absolutely phenomenal, because 84% of your restaurant traffic is going to come from mobile. Your users are on smartphones. They don't think, I'm pretty hungry, honey. Let's pull up the desktop and, you know, turn that thing on and see what's nearby. They reach for their phones. So I think that's the starting point. And then there are fundamentals, and these things benefit SEO and keeping users on your website and not going back to the search results, you know, to choose a competing listing. Things like security. If your site isn't secure and doesn't have that little padlock icon in the address bar, then you're going to lose out on some traffic and some rankings and search results. Privacy. If your site doesn't have a privacy, you might see your ads, if you decide to do some ads, get disapproved, and they won't tell you why. It's because you don't have a link there for privacy. In California, we have something called the CCPA, and it's becoming more and more important to address user privacy and what you do with their data. The next thing I would pay attention to is accessibility. Can people who have visual impairments and audio impairments, or just, you know, people who are getting old like me, I'm 45 years old and I'm wearing glasses now. And even then, sometimes I've got to hit the Control Plus on my keyboard, or Command Plus if you're a sad Mac user, I'm sorry, to be able to see the text on the screen. And if you have to do that, if you have to make the user take an action to be able to use your website, then it's not accessible. So we want to really pay attention to privacy, security, accessibility, mobile friendliness as paramount website level attributes. But when we get into our actual pages, let's say you've got a pizza shop and you've got two locations, right? And it's welcome to our pizza shop on the homepage, and all sorts of great pictures and people having fun and enjoying their food. But then you've also got a locations link because you've got two locations. You can do one of two things. You can put information about both locations on that single page, and the person who wants to go to the second location is going to have to scroll and search around the page to find it. Or you can create individual pages for each of those locations. Now, when you do that, we call those local landing pages or local pages. And you'll see them predominantly across all the major restaurant franchises. We did a study recently of over 300 of these local pages to better understand what it is that helps those pages rank better than those that don't in Google Maps, than the blended map pack that you see in a web search, and in the organic results below the map pack. And what we found was, when we look at those individual pages, there were two things that really stood out to us. One was that if you could emulate or use the fields that are available in your Google Maps profile, it's called Google My Business, if you've never been in it, so you log into your free Google My Business account, you look at all those fields that are available, hours and special hours and directions and all the different things that you could say about your business. You mentioned menu. Mm-hmm. Get your menu in there, right? If you can do all of those things on the page itself, you'll start to see that page show up a little bit higher and more often in the maps, and you'll see your listing below the maps because it's got all that great helpful content. The second thing was an array of different focal points that stood out among the, you know, the pages that ranked well. The first was hyperlocal content, and hyperlocal, we mean you know, content that's relative to that location, pictures of that location, reviews from that location, what's nearby, how far are you from the nearest freeway or from the nearest sporting events or venue, so that somebody who decides they want to come eat before or after an event knows how far you are. Now, putting all that unique information about that location is something that larger brands can't scale. It's really difficult. We've been trying with a few of our restaurant chains and getting that communication to happen between the small group of corporate people who are running the digital and the person who's running the restaurant takes almost an act of God. It's so difficult to do. So I think that's something I would do is really look at how can we create unique content for this location. So I mentioned images. You know, you have an 84% competitive advantage if you can put some images of your location inside and out, get it professionally done. It'll cost you a couple $100. You'll stand out from all the other locations that don't do that. They just put their, you know, standard logo or just a cheap, you know, picture from their iPhone of the front of the location. Links to the social profiles that correspond to that location. For each one, you're going to have your own Foursquare. People check in still. It's weird, but they do.
I was like, oh yeah, that thing still is around. That makes sense.
Yep, it's still there. They actually bought a data platform called Factual. And so between them and Factual, they run most of the data that a lot of these business directories will use when they're, you know, putting out information about businesses that are in these types of databases. Having a link to directions, those social links I mentioned, the page size, how long does that page take to load? You know, recently Google updated their algorithm, and from June to August, they started to really refine and improve search results for faster pages and pages that had certain criteria for mobile users where it didn't bounce around and it was just really quick and easy and helpful. Those things are called core web vitals. If you want to goof around and do some Google searching and learn more about it, that page size is going to play a role with that. Other things I mentioned are native reviews, meaning not just putting your Yelp and your Google My Business reviews on your page, but actually going out and getting people to leave reviews on your website. Hey, did you have a great experience? Cool. Here's a short code, a bit.ly that you could use when you have a second to share your experience. And they go to your website and they leave you a review there. That's your content. You're not letting Google and Yelp have that content. That's yours. And they're going to use words that describe their, you know, the products they purchased and the foods they ate. I mentioned hours, maybe a little video. I can tell you two things that most locations aren't doing that could be really easy things to do. One is offering a coupon or a discount right above the fold, incentivizing them to come in. And if you can work with some barcoding companies, you might even be able to do some really cool analytics and getting people who went to Google, performed a search, got to your page, got their barcode, then went into the restaurant, and that barcode was scanned after you purchased. Now you can actually tie in search terms and keywords and online traffic to an actual dollar amount and quantify it. Why the heck are we doing this digital marketing thing? Well, people who went to our website and brought in a coupon generated $600,000 of revenue for us this year. Well, keep up the good work, right? Yeah. So those are all attributes that we saw that made a difference. There's plenty more on that study that I mentioned. I'll share the link with you after for listeners, but that's where I would start. Start with that website. Start with those local pages. There's a little graphic on the page that I'll share with you later that you could literally tell your webmaster, hey, just do this thing. Make it look like that, right? And then you take that, incorporate all the different attributes, and you've got yourself hopefully the foundation of a high traffic earning webpage for each restaurant location that you have.
Well, I want to rearticulate some of the things that I heard you say, Steve, because I think it is a pretty I don't say overwhelming, but there's a lot to what you said, and some of the things that I guess I want to share with our audience, because I think you broke down so many different things that they can do. And I guess the first thing I would say is guys, Steve just went through in 10 or 12 minutes like a whole lot of stuff that you can do, but it doesn't need to be overwhelming. Almost everything that he said is not either expensive if you have somebody like Steve's team do it, or even know how to do it yourself. To set up these profiles, to go get, you know, a photographer to take pictures and upload them to your Google to your Yelp site. Like it's super easy stuff. You can check your email, you can do these things. It's really just the checklist that Steve's talking through. But some of the other things that I want you to hit on, because I think it's important for people to know, is the value of what I guess, what is SEO and why is it so important for people to know that they're playing in this space? Because if you're not optimized for these things, you don't show up in the searches, or you show up so far down that people can't find you when they are searching local. You talk about SEO and then talk about kind of some of the localization stuff, because I think it's important for people to understand both of those principles, you know, with the hyperlocal as well as the SEO, because again, it will tell you how to talk to the audience and help these restaurateurs to get to a place where they're getting the types of people that they want into their brand from a digital perspective.
Yep, absolutely. And I think it starts with looking at why people come to your restaurant,
yep.
Right? Figuring out what is it you like? I really like spicy pizza, right? I don't know. I really like the fact that you do delivery. I really like the fact that I can do takeout, carry out, curbside. I really enjoy your drink specials, your happy hours. Well, geez, all those different reasons people are coming to us deserve content. They deserve to know if somebody's similar to them who hasn't heard of us, they want to see that type of content. So I would start from a, you know, and again, let's back up a little bit on what SEO is, but just big picture is let's make sure for everything that people are looking for, that we've got a page of content that outdoes all the other pages that offer similar products or services in terms of helpfulness, usefulness, you know, visual cues like pictures and videos and so forth. But when we take a step back, and I don't know how many folks are taking a digital marketing class, but I did just wrap up a textbook for Stukent. If you go to Stukent, S-T-U-K-E-N-T, we wrote a textbook and courseware called SEO Strategy and Skills. And we really break down the fundamentals of what goes in to an SEO strategy. And it starts by understanding three principles that to achieve higher rankings over time, and this is an over time thing, this is a marketing thing, not an advertising thing. You don't just pay a bunch of money and boom, suddenly you just keep getting free traffic. You've got to keep working at this thing, and you've got to check in once a month on these three attributes. And that is my content relevant to what somebody is searching for, someone I want to bring into my restaurant? Two, is my content visible off my website? Google, for example, when they came out in 98, they decided they were going to use how other websites are linking to yours as their ranking signal, their primary ranking signal, not just what's on your page. So making sure every month you're doing more than just SEO, you're actively out there in the local community promoting yourself so that Google's finding more instances of your business name, address, phone number, and hopefully a link to your website. Next is really going to be around user behavior signals. So our content is great. You know, we've managed to take our new website with some great keyword rich content to page two of the search results. Now we've gone and we've done some work to get other websites to link to ours. And we're on the first page and we're at number nine. We're right there. All we have to do is move up nine more positions and we're number one in Google. How do we do that? We try to stand out in the search results because those search behaviors, every time somebody performs a search, Google's recording that. And every time somebody clicks, they're recording that too. And every time somebody comes back and they choose a different result, well, they record that too. And if that's you, it might give the impression that maybe you weren't a very helpful result. People clicked on your listing, but they went away. So the first goal is to get them to click. And how do we do that? We add things to our website, like I'd mentioned. Those native reviews can allow us to use a little coding, go to our web developer or web designer, webmaster, and say, hey, could you add this schema thing, this structured markup thing to my page so that I can stand out a little bit more in the search results? Now a user will do a search and they'll see title, description, star rating. Whoa, star rating, what's that? You know, and they'll want to click on your listing more. Maybe it's a video thumbnail, an image thumbnail. Maybe it's some frequently asked questions about a particular thing that you offer at your restaurant. All of those features come with some special code that make your listing stand out. And I already mentioned some of the things you can do to get them to stay, right? The accessibility, privacy, mobile friendliness, page speed, all of those things will help keep them on your site, the coupon especially. So those are the three principles you want to think about and revisit around with. Am I improving in my relevancy? Am I improving in my off-page visibility? And am I improving in the percentage of people who are clicking on my listing, you know, from the previous month. And if you're doing that and you are improving every month, you're going to see growth. Now, this is really holistic. These are really, you know, bare bones principle SEO that has, you know, very little to do with local maps. And you mentioned maps, and that's a priority, I think, for businesses. So there are four areas that you also need to pay attention to for Google Maps. First is making sure your data is, your business information is up to date and it's accurate. And to do that, you can manage it through these, you mentioned Foursquare, and I'd mentioned Factual. There's actually a couple more. There's Data Axle. There's Locally's Newstar, but you don't have to remember all of those, and you definitely shouldn't pay for all of those individually because it could get really expensive. Big providers or aggregators are available to help to keep that cost down and to manage all that data for you. Two of my favorites include Bright Local, B-R-I-G-H-T Local, and Moz Local, M-O-Z Local. You put your business information in there, they get very, very cheap bulk discounts on the data management fees with those data providers. And boom, now the whole internet who uses those databases has your correct and accurate data. So that's number one. Number two is going to be those local page factors that we mentioned, and some basic SEO factors as well, like the links and the visibility off the website. Next is going to be how often Google is finding our business name, address, and phone number. In local SEO, it's often called NAP, something that I'm going to need at the end of this week because it has been a long one, Jeremy.
Yeah, so. I would say it's Friday. You only got a few more hours left on your day when we're recording. So.
Yep. So that's it. And there's one more after that, and that's reputation management, because nobody's going to click on a one-star review. And even if you do have 5 stars, but you only have 2 reviews and your competitor has more, people are going to trust that listing more. So every month, get with your staff, whoever is doing and working on your digital marketing, and say, is our data accurate and up to date? Is our page content becoming more and more helpful every month? Is our business information found more often off our website because perhaps we're doing local events and promoting it to our neighboring businesses? And is our review quality, quantity, and velocity continuing to improve every month? And if you're doing those things, your map rankings are going to do just fine.
That's I love that. I love how pragmatic you've been about kind of just walking our audience through, Steve. It's almost like you've done this for a year or two. I did write a book on it, Jeremy. Yeah, I know. I know I'm teasing about it, and I know we were joking in our pre-show of just, you know, having a good time. And it's so amazing because it's like so actionable, and I love it. I love the idea. Let's take a step back one more time just to kind of get back to these audience members to say, hey guys, we've talked about the website, we've talked about we've talked about all of these different things. There's a statistic that you threw out that always surprises me, but shouldn't surprise me, which is the idea of where people are coming from and how many of them are coming from a mobile deal. And what does it really take to be mobile friendly? And what does it take to have, you mentioned something else on that mobile friendly site, that the sticky, you know, button that makes sure that people can get order or see. So why don't you dig in a little bit deeper to why so many people are on mobile? Why are people searching for mobile? What does mobile optimization even mean? My web guy just says he deals with it, but it's not necessarily true. Talk to me a little bit about what that is. And quite frankly, I think there's one other thing that I'd love for you to talk about is speed and what value speed has to even people bouncing from your site. Because I think all three of those things are critical for people to understand how important it is to have these three things nailed if you're going to launch a site and make sure that you're going to get in the hands of your audience.
I couldn't agree more. You know, Jeremy, at the moment, I'm teaching, I'm an adjunct professor at UC San Diego, and I'm teaching a SEO tools and analytics course. And as much as I love to share all these great SEO tools that we use, what the students seem the most interested in is what you're talking about, the analytics, the big picture of where's my traffic coming from and how do I make the visitors who are coming to my website become customers? How do I convert the visitor into a customer? You know, ergo why we call it conversion rate. Yep. So starting at the top, you know, from a reporting standpoint, working in reverse, when you do log into your free Google Analytics account and you go to your traffic sources, you're going to see, you know, channels, and you're going to see mediums. Channels are these custom things that we can create to sort of identify our traffic sources ourselves. And mediums are these built-in things that will allow you to see what's kind of always been a part of your web analytics. And what you're going to see most of the time is that the number one medium driving traffic to your website is organic search, Google, Bing, and elsewhere. Next to that, you're going to see some direct traffic from all your current customers and fans and referrals, right? You're going to see some referral traffic come in from other websites that link to you and mention you, and maybe the local community website links to all the restaurants in the area. You're going to see email marketing if you're doing any sort of emails to bring people back in to email them coupons. And you're gonna see those mediums broken out and know, you know, which ones are the ones that are really driving the most customers. I can tell you from a conversion rate standpoint, email always converts the best because those are your existing customers. They've already signed up and opted in and said, please send me coupons because I love you, right? So I would definitely make sure email marketing is a part of your digital marketing landscape. The referral traffic piece of it's also going to play a role in your SEO. Not only are you going to get, referral traffic from those sites, but Google's going to find those links, crawl them, and pass voting power to, give you more rankings. So I think that's important to look at that big picture of, let's go into our traffic sources, see where our traffic's coming from, and maybe explore some third-party tools to see what's driving traffic to our competitors that we could explore and experiment with and put in our roadmap for digital marketing. As we get into mobile, as I mentioned, 84% for restaurants, 84% from Google. If your webmaster says, I only do desktop or I design desktop first, then they're probably somebody who's been in digital a long time. And mm-hmm. I know this because I was one of them. I built these big, desktop gaudy sites back in the day myself. And in today's, digital marketing ecosystem, it's all about mobile experience. And there are several ways that you can address them. I mentioned a few earlier. Google has a whole guide about it. If you do a search for Google mobile friendly, there's an entire guide and some tools that you could use to test your site and recommendations. Some of my favorites include, I'd mentioned those buttons, having the buttons on the bottom floating there for mobile users. Those are my favorite, one of my favorites. The other is really making sure that, that our page is loading super fast. I know speed was something that you wanted to talk about as well. Amazon, I think they did a study and there was some umpting millions of dollars that they lost every extra second that a user had to stay on their website or wait for a page to load. So I think speed is critical because people are expecting faster speeds, and in today's world, they're not going to wait. They're going to go back to Google and they're going to choose a competitor. And Google's going to say, "Well, I guess that page wasn't very helpful." The other thing I like about mobile is autofill. So if somebody yep. is going to do any sort of ordering or any sort of form fill out that you want to start or at least get the initial transaction done using the autofill attribute on your form. So if when somebody thumbs in to a form, it'll come up with suggestions based on how you filled that field out in the past. And it's things like name, first name, last name, phone number, address, credit card info. Chrome saves that, right? I think having all
as
those
goes things, Apple, I think on their Safari browser.
Absolutely. And then you mentioned Apple. So there's Apple Pay, there's Google Pay, there's Shop Pay for Shopify users. There's what's the other one? Amazon Pay. Yep. So you can have those payment integrations, which are one click integrations that already have you logged into the platform so that you don't have to put in your credit card information. And the faster you can get them through that experience on a mobile device, the better. The other thing I see that business owners sometimes forget about is changing fonts and layout a bit for the mobile experience. Mm-hmm. You can have a different style for your mobile site using the same URL. And that style should include much larger fonts. If you're using a lot of links, maybe turn those links into large buttons, tappable areas that people with fat thumbs like me can click into and not have to fumble around, right? Oh, I got to click that little blue link in there. I can't get it, So having that be a larger tap target is how they like to refer to it as. Having a larger tap target will make it easier for that user without having to zoom in, zoom out, and use both hands to get through that experience. I think those are sort of the basic fundamentals of a mobile site. You might also take a lot of your tabbed content. If you've got a desktop site and you've got, you know, 5 or 6 tabs in the middle of the page for different attributes, maybe you've got ingredients and nutrition info and customer reviews and different tabs within, you know, a little folder looking area on your desktop, that might turn into more of an accordion experience on mobile. Instead of having all that content for them to have to scroll through, you just have a little accordion where they hit the little plus button and it expands that area to give you that info. Then you hit it again and it, you know, collapses it. That's a way to keep that page short and sweet and still allow the user to be able to get the information that they need.
Well, I know I keep giving you a hard time because you continue to just put out so much information for these guys. But I love it because I think I think all too often we don't think about these things. And I guess the last piece, because we're getting closer to time, and I'd love to make sure that we've got some takeaways before we sign off for the day, Steve. But talk to us a little bit about discovery and how people discover where your restaurant is. Because again, I think all too often, you know, discovery, and then really the second piece that I, for our audience members that really don't understand it, because you've alluded to it a lot, is how much rich data you can get about the people that are even discovering you and who discovered you but didn't come, who discovered you but came, who discovered you but clicked, and who, you know, who was on your site for some period of time, who wasn't, who was on your site but not active. Like, the amount of data that we're able to see is so much greater than we've ever been able to see. And I think, you know, to what your comment was about your USD, you know, course, being able to understand who the consumer is and how do you get to them? When are they coming? Why are they coming? What times are they coming? Because all of those types of things, I think, really are pieces that are going to set a restaurant apart from those that aren't doing these things. And I really want to emphasize to our audience out there, if you're not doing this, I promise you your competitor is considering it or has already done it. And you have to make sure that you this is a call to action to say, you have to be thinking about these things, because if your competitors definitely are doing it, especially some that are working with Steve and his company, but there's lots of people out there that get this. And so if you don't get it and this is all new to you, I want you to understand the power of some of these digital transformations that brands have already done and what you can do going into the future. So I know I threw a lot at you there, Steve, but if you can kind of wrap a bow around it and help our audience understand how to get there and what the value of spending the time and energy is going to be for them.
Sure. I think the paradigm to have is you're across the street from your restaurant and next door is your competitor. And you offer similar food and you're just sitting there watching people go in and out for a few minutes. You know, you've got a couple people coming in and they seem to have a lot more people coming in for some reason. Your people are coming in and they're chatting with each other and, you know, they walk in and everything's fine. And the competitor has more people, but they're all looking at their phone. They all have what seems to be Google Maps and Apple Maps and Yelp. They all have those things, those apps open that drove them into the location. And they're looking at it like, yeah, I've never been here before. Where people who are going into your location are like, yeah, I come here all the time. So the idea here is that we're going to drive new visitors who are performing searches for the type of food and service that you offer at your restaurant. So I think that's the first paradigm to have. And then as we get into discoverability, how do they discover us? Right? Well, all the places. And I know that sounds crazy, yep. But there's a lot. And where I would start with all the places is most important is Google Maps, right? Just make sure you've claimed that Google My Business location. Next is going to be sites such as Yelp, even Facebook. You know, make sure that you've got visibility there and how you're starting to track what's coming in from all that. I mentioned Google Analytics is one source, but if you're willing to put a couple dollars in, if you're willing to spend a few bucks and follow the advertising wizards that are available on Facebook and Google Ads, you're able to collect some really interesting information about your users. They're going to tell you demographic information. They're going to tell you what age group downloaded a coupon. They're going to tell you what income level purchased a pizza online,
yep.
you're going to see all that data that you wouldn't see in many cases in regular organic results. You'll see a lot of information in Google Analytics, but the paid search data, the paid social data that you get is much more robust because those platforms have so much first party data for you to explore still. I know they're limiting it more these days, but there's still a lot out there. You might not see as much about your iPhone users as you do as your Android.
You know what people don't understand? I mean, there was a 60 Minutes article I share with our, you know, an episode where they had a 20 minute segment on it. And it's insane how much these big tech companies know about the consumers that are out there, but they give it to you for free oftentimes or for nominal amounts of money if you want to get to it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think it's so important for people to understand. Every time you pick up your phone and go do a search, they're tracking that and they're selling it to the highest bidder that wants to know who that person is.
That's true. It's true. And you know what? It's we all carry around these phones and we know that who knows what they're sharing, what they're not sharing at this point. You know, let's just try to live our lives and not worry about it. But in the meantime, you know, when you do finally get some of that data, if you're willing to make the investment, maybe you say, you know what, I'm going to spend $1,000. I'm going to take a big risk. And I'm going to probably call someone who's good at this stuff and have them help me with that $1,000. Maybe $250 of it's going to go to the person who's going to help me do this thing. And I'm going to do some ads. I'm going to do some advertising on Facebook and on Google and on Bing. And I'm going to take the information from that 1 month, or, you know, if you can go longer, even better. And then I'm going to take all that information. I'm going to create a new campaign based on what worked. So from that $1,000 investment, I find out exactly what demographic to hit, what sites they're going to, what keywords they used. And now I'm going to create a campaign that's based on what I know now about those customers. And then you just keep learning and refining. Keep that learning campaign going for $100 a month and grow that $1,000 new campaign that you have, or $900 campaign that you have. You know, keep growing that one based on the data that you collect from that test group. So I would definitely, you know, not just do the advertising, but really have somebody pull that information out about what's been working and create new campaigns that isolate just that group so that you're only targeting the people that you know are your ideal customers. And the more you rinse and repeat, the more you learn about your customers, the lower your cost goes for advertising. You can get your cost down to, you know, 20, 30 cents, you know, for a customer in Google Ads with the right optimization over time by continuing to refine that audience. So I think, and then discoverability isn't just, you know, titles, descriptions, and URLs and Google web search. It's maps, it's images, it's videos. There's image search and video search. There's YouTube. You could create all sorts of helpful content for people who are interested in the types of things that you do, and maybe boost some of that content in Facebook and in YouTube, you know, to give it more visibility, but only to people that are in your area. You could say, hey search engine and hey publisher, I only want my paid video version of my video to be displayed in Anaheim, California. Yep. And you know, so you can really do a lot with what we call universal search and providing really helpful video, image, and other types of content that, you know, users are going to find in that results. Now you don't just have one listing. You've got a paid ad at the top. You've got a paid ad in the map pack. You've got an organic listing in the map pack, an organic listing below the map pack. You've got an image in the carousel that's in there and a video image that's in the carousel. And somebody clicked the questions people ask. And guess what? They found three more of your pages in that question and answer section. So you dominate the first page because you thought about discoverability and all the different ways that people are going to find out about you.
I love that. And one last thing that I will say to your comment is, knowing who your current customer is fantastic. Knowing who you want to also get coming into your brand is also important. You know, knowing what is that next gen or what's the next person that wants to interact with your brand and figuring out how to market to them is hugely important. So I don't want to understate the ability through digital. And again, this is your world, Steve, I just dip my toe in it from time to time. But it is amazing what you can do with the right partnership and the right focus as it relates to digital and understanding how to talk to your consumers, how to know who your consumers are. I always tease about, you know, the old marketing adage, you know, 50% of marketing works and 50% doesn't. We just don't know what 50%. That adage doesn't need to exist anymore. You know, with print, it did. You know, with print, it did. But now that you're digital, you know what people are clicking on. You know what's resonating with your audience. You know what is working and you know what's not working if you do it right. And so, I love that you, I mean, you threw out so much for our audience. Give our audience a next steps. If they wanted to engage with you guys, sure. Download some of the stuff that you guys have. Talk to me a little bit about how they would engage with you, your organization, the people you get to work with every day.
Got it. Well, I'm going to send you some free resources anyway that you could share, including a cheat sheet that you can give to the front desk person who's getting solicited by marketers all day long. And other tools I think might make a difference in, you know, growing your search online. But I do have something that was taken from my Cal State Fullerton course a bit, where I kind of curated my own content, and I created this course for understanding how to build a search strategy, and it incorporates our templates. And that's still kind of a new thing, so I'm willing to give it away for free if your users want to check it out. It's just use code SEO Steve when you go to Academy of Search, and again, I'll try to provide that link afterwards as well. But academyofsearch.com and use code SEO Steve if you want to go through that course for free. Get those templates, get those downloads. And what I would encourage you to do, if you're a small business owner and you feel overwhelmed by this, but you're interested and intrigued and you want to do something, call up the local college or university that offers a digital marketing class and say, do you have any students who'd be willing to come in and work for experience? I can guarantee you all 135 of the students that I'm working with right now would jump at the opportunity to do some free work to get the experience to work with you. And all of them will have their teacher as their backup to make sure that they're doing it right. And they'll have, you know, the Academy of Search to use so that they're using templates that are built and designed by the folks that manage two of the largest restaurant chains, casual dining chains in the country. So I would start by getting that student, getting some volunteer or internship work, getting them through that course so that they're using the right strategy and roadmap. And then, you know, every so often check in with a consultant, doesn't have to be me, and, you know, ask them, how am I doing? Give me a score. If you want to get a hold of us though, I'm easy to find. I'm just SEO Steve everywhere. And, our team is just Wiedemann everywhere. If you want to reach out to any of us, we love to help small businesses for free. We don't have any small business clients. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for small business. So if you run a restaurant or a couple of restaurants and you want us to take a look at your current digital marketing, we love to do that. And if we do a good job and we're helpful, you know, we'll ask for a review, just in the same way that you would be with your customers after this podcast.
I love it. I love it. Well, and all of this stuff will be in the show notes. Steve, I again, not just the content that you delivered here, but even some of the stuff that you're gonna allow our audience to download or take those courses for free. I love all of those thoughts. I love all of the generosity, for that matter, of just not only your time. The part I also love is typically the people that are listening to these people are the people that are wanting to pour into their business or wanting to grow or wanting to make it better. And so they're typically your front of the, you know, the class students that are constantly hitting me up on the socials to ask more details. So, Steve, I appreciate you taking the time to our audience, guys. I know that you guys have got tens of thousands of new podcasts that come out every single week. And, we appreciate you guys, giving us just 45 minutes to an hour of your time every time we post one of these. If you like what you heard, share it with some of your friends, because it helps get the word out more about what we're doing with Restaurant Technology Guys. If you guys have other guests that you guys want us to engage with, we're always open to talking to different guests and having fantastic people like Steve on. Steve, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming on. And to our audience, guys, you guys make it a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.